welcome to the Smokin' PTSD Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Diver. I am a survivor of suicide, a survivor of childhood emotional and physical abuse, as well as a veteran of the U.S. Navy and a retired first responder. I started this podcast to help me on my journey to wellness by sharing my story, my thoughts, and my experiences in a hope that my story will reach and help others and let them know that it's okay to not be okay. With that being said, I am not a licensed mental or behavioral health professional. I'm just a guy who's been through some stuff and has experienced a trauma survival. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, medical treatment, or therapy. Always seek the advice of your qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding any mental health symptoms, and never disregard professional help or delay in seeking professional advice or treatment because of something you have heard on this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review this episode, as your comments can only serve to improve the content. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I want to talk about how we cope with painful memories and flashbacks. Everyone has memories, both good and bad. From childhood to adulthood, our brains are collecting dozens upon dozens of memories and stores them for recall at a later time. While we all have bad memories, we don't all have post-traumatic stress disorder. And the difference with those are that for those of us with PTSD and CPSD, simply remembering a bad event isn't enough. We have to relive that memory. Which is why when I would working as a first responder and I would encounter a dead body and smell the decay, I would be immediately sent back to our porch in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, reliving the finding of my father after his suicide. Or on the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, I would think about being on the pile of the remains of the South Tower, and I could taste the acrid air and see that hand, that woman's hand, before my eyes as if it was actually there again. Reliving those events is what causes us the most harm. Seeing the victims of a crash or a fire or an attack, whatever your event or events are, that's your piece de resistance. That's the reason that we behave the way that we do when those triggers come. And the reason why this happens to us goes back to our old nemesis, the amygdala and the hippocampus. And reading from the Limbic System book, in humans, the hippocampus, the anterior and ventral hippocampus in particular, is usually associated with learning and memory of cognitively relevant information. For example, a long-term storage and retrieval of newly learned information. So this is the part of our brain that is responsible for storing those memories and for retrieving the memories when we choose to remember them, or when we're triggered and we don't choose to remember them. This is the part of our brain that these memories and flashbacks are coming from. So it appears that the formation of long-term memories is dependent on the hippocampus, the growth of dendritic spines, and the binding action of long-term potentiation, which creates links between different synapses, thus allowing for the transition from short to long-term memory. Basically, that's a long way of saying that our memories, as we remember them today, are put into a certain part of our brain, and then they are moved along the synapses of our brain, and they go to a different part of the hippocampus, and that's where they become long-term memories and are stored there. So that's why we can remember events from our childhood. We can remember childhood birthday parties or gatherings, weddings, funerals. We can remember these things, and that's where those memories are coming from, whether they're good or bad. That's the part of the brain that these are getting stored into. When we are triggered by an event that happens today and we are brought back to reliving an event of similar circumstance, we are triggered because of that event. That's when the amygdala comes in, because of its involvement in all aspects of social, emotional, and motivational functioning. Activation of the amygdala, therefore, evokes the highly personal and emotional memories, as it is highly involved in remembering emotionally charged experiences. So this is what we talked about before of amygdala hijack. When we are we remember an event, and all of a sudden we are reliving the event. That's the difference, is the role that the amygdala plays in reliving the event as opposed to just remembering it. The amygdala becomes particularly active when recalling personal and emotional memories and in response to cognitive and context-determined stimuli, regardless of their specific emotional qualities. So what this is saying is that our brain is overemphasizing the memories that we have in persons with PTSD and CPSD. So in reading this book here, it says that there's considerable evidence which strongly suggests that the hippocampus plays an interdependent role with the amygdala in regard to many aspects of memory, and that the amygdala plays a primary role in regard to all aspects of emotional memory. That is, the amygdala, in conjunction with the hypothalamus and the hippocampus, extracts and stores the emotional attributes as well as mediating the emotional reactions and feelings triggered by particular events. So what this is telling us is that our amygdala is holding on to these stored memories, our hippocampus is holding on to these stored memories, but when we get that trigger response, that's when the amygdala is coming in, and that's when the amygdala hijack that we've talked about before occurs, where we are unable to control our response to that trigger. We are unable to control our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, how our body is reacting, the increase in our respiratory rate, the clenching of our fists, the tightening of our chest, the widening of our eyes so we can see more that's going on around us. Those are all autonomic responses that our body is having to whatever this trigger mechanism was. And the role that our brain plays in that is oftentimes more overpowering than sometimes even the original event was. Sometimes the reliving it is, the pain involved in that is compounded, if that makes any sense, in our reaction to it sometimes becomes worse than what the original event actually was. So in my case, the way that I think about that is, when I was 5 years old and was standing on the porch in Hatboro and smelled the smell of decay after my father completed suicide, that day in 1977, that didn't mean much to 5-year-old me. But reliving that as a grown man in my 20s, 30s, 40s, that's when the trigger response came in, as I didn't have that initial trigger response, I didn't understand what was happening. But as I got older and I understood what had happened, and my amygdala, my hippocampus stored that information, and then my amygdala chose to cause that to be a trigger for me at certain times in my life, the remembering of the event and the reliving of the event became much more substantial than the original event had been. And that all goes into why therapy helps and why TMS certainly helped me in being able to think about these events, think about the accident victims I've seen. I just kind of made me think about this. I bought a new car the other day. I bought a Toyota Tacoma, and the dealer and I were walking around the lot looking at different cars and different trucks, different models and the trim packages and such. And he asked me what I did for a living, and I told him what I was doing, and I told him that I retired from a fire department in New Jersey. And like immediately he was like, "Oh man, you must have seen some nasty stuff, like decapitated heads and, you know, dismembered people and body parts and stuff." And I just kind of looked at him like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" Like, but that's somebody who, one first responder to another, would never speak that way. But a layman, for some reason, has no problem with speaking to a first responder that way. And it's like, are they just looking for the gory details of what I experienced in my life, and it kind of made me smile on the outside, and I laughed on the inside that how silly this sounds to me, to this guy who's a car salesman asking me those questions. And I just said, yeah, you know, some days were better than others, and, you know, just blew it off like we all do, because I'm not going to talk to a complete stranger about the sights and sounds of being a first responder. But it kind of made me laugh. And then as I was thinking about it later on that afternoon, I realized that my response to that was due to the personal growth that I've gone through. Whereas I may have in the past, my answers would not have been any different, but my responses to myself would have been different. Whereas in the past, I may have said, yeah, you know, some days were worse than others, and we had our moments, that's for sure. And then would have been triggered by what some of those moments were and started to have flashbacks and memories, and my amygdala hijack would have started, and I would have gone down the rabbit hole of having a visceral response to something that was said, to something that triggered me. Whereas the other day I just said, yeah, you know, some days were worse than others. We had our moments, and it didn't bother me at all. I was able to just kind of, like I said, laugh about it on the inside, blow it off, and not have a trauma trigger response to something that somebody else said to me. So what before would have possibly been triggers for me no longer were, or they still were triggers. My reaction to those triggers was just significantly different. And in order for us to adapt to this and to change our behavior, we need to recognize what those triggers are. And once again, those triggers can be whatever they are. There's no specific recipe, I guess, for what our triggers may or may not be. They can be a smell, they can be a sound, they can be a sight, they can even be a song. I didn't experience this, but I know listening to SiriusXM, they do some promotions, I guess they're called, for, and like you can call in and say why a certain song is important to you or why that genre of music is important to you. And there was a few men and women that left messages about this song would play when we were going out on patrol in Iraq or Afghanistan. And I just think that song is a trigger. That song is not simply to get the group up going and motivated, but I would have to assume that if you're Drowning Pool's Bodies is playing and your convoy or your unit comes under attack, that song is now going to be a trigger for you. Triggers are anything that causes our hippocampus and amygdala to become overloaded and resort to the basic carnal responses to that event. It's whatever causes us to have that flashback. It's whatever causes us to think, I'm reliving that moment again. I'm back in my bedroom in New Jersey and my stepfather is abusing me. I'm back in the house after my father died and I'm emotionally detached from being a kid because of what I witnessed weeks before, years before. So the way that we cope with these disturbing memories and these troubling occurrences is to try and get ourselves into an area of mindfulness again where we are going to be able to remember these things, but we are no longer going to relive these things. And that's the big difference. As long as you're reliving it, you're suffering from PTSD. If you are able to remember it and not relive it, I don't want to say I'm cured of that. However, I am in a much better emotional state because of the therapy that I've gone through and because of the TMS that I did and because of the antidepressants that I take. They all play a role. One thing specifically one thing is not going to cure us. Therapy by itself is not going to do it. At least it didn't for me. TMS by itself didn't do it for me. And antidepressants by themselves have not done it for me. I needed that cumulative effect. And I think everyone needs the cumulative effect. So let's say I have a repeated trauma in my life of being abused by my stepfather. That is one sentinel event. Yes, it happened over multiple years and there were multiple different instances, but it's still under the same, I'll call it like the same title, sentinel event of abusive stepfather. And one thing of treatment, one avenue of treatment, let's say therapy, is not going to remove the trigger of abusive stepfather. More than one thing is going to be needed to overcome that sentinel event. So I needed therapy, I needed antidepressants, and I needed to go through TMS in order for me to be able to heal and say, yeah, I had to now be able to say, yes, I had an abusive stepfather and fuck him. And not relive what has gone on in the past and not to be that young boy getting physically and emotionally abused by a man. I'm able to sit there and just say, yeah, you know, screw him, whatever, you know, and just blow it off. Yes, I am diminishing it and minimizing it in my various forms of whatever that I say, but that's how I deal with it. And that's how I cope with it. For some of you, just that one avenue of approach may be what you need. I know a lot of people that have gone through therapy and still go see a therapist. And that is the healing that they need, where they need to just be able to talk about what their experiences were, what their memories were, what their thoughts regarding specific times, dates, and events in their life were, and how it is affecting them now. For others, like myself, I needed a more complex form of cognitive change, for lack of a better way of describing that, in order for me to be able to move forward from my past. I heard an interesting thing the other day on the radio, and I don't remember the specific quote, but the guy in the radio had said something about there's a reason why the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror, because you should be spending more time looking forwards than looking backwards. And I find that to be very interesting. And if I hear it again, I think it was a promotion for something. But if I hear it again, I'll try and record it or remember it to write it down so that I can repeat it more verbatim. But it basically tells us that we definitely should spend more time looking forward than looking back. However, easier said than done at the same time. So coping with our painful memories and flashbacks, it's not going to be easy, but once we begin to understand why they're there, how they're there, how they stay there, and specifically and most importantly, what triggers them to come from the back of our brain, the back of our mind, to the front of our mind, and it's focused in the frontal lobe where all of our attention comes from. What causes that to come forward? What is that triggering mechanism that causes that to come forward? They're always going to come forward no matter what. You're not going to be able to stop them from coming forward. What you can stop and what you can control is how you react to it. And I just read an article the other day on Twitter, on the new one of the news stations Twitters out here, that there was a man arrested on the local interstate highway for shooting at another driver. Like, classic case of road rage. That guy's going to go to jail. Fortunately, the driver of the other vehicle was not injured. That could have been so much worse. But what was the trigger there? Why was that driver's response so catastrophic to something that was probably the most benign thing that has ever happened? I don't know what the circumstances were. And again, it doesn't matter. There's no circumstance other than being your life being threatened that you're going to shoot at another driver while they're driving. They weren't even stopped. They were driving down the road. So what was the trigger response? And that is what's most important in finding out, is what is the trigger? Why does that trigger cause me to react the way that I do? And what steps can I take to minimize that reaction? How can I prevent myself from seeing red and picking up my gun and shooting it out the window at another vehicle? What steps can I take to sit there and say, yes, I was witness to my father's suicide. Yes, I was abused as a child. Yes, I did go to the 9/11 attacks afterwards. Yes, I did see numerous terrible things in my line of work, but it's no longer, those events are no longer triggers for me. So we have to get to that point where we can say, this is no longer a trigger for me, and these are the reasons why. So being able to cope with our painful memories and cope with our flashbacks is a integral part of healing for our PTSD. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me today. Please rate, subscribe, and review, as your comments can only serve to improve this podcast. If you or someone you know are struggling with thoughts of suicide, please call or text the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 988. Veterans can also call 988 and press 1 or text 838-255. You can reach me on Twitter at SmokinPTSD, on Instagram at Smokin_PTSD, or email me at thesmokinPTSDpodcast@gmail.com. And please remember, everyone you meet is struggling with something you know nothing about, so please, let's be kind to one another.